welcome to Add to Party, your weekly your weekly Friendship Simulator masquerading as a new show podcast. And I'm your host, James Hartwell, and I'm joined by
I was actually just questioning, do I go next? Andy Kay, and I've been joined by, or I am joined by,
Derek Costia.
That's right. We're back again for your weekly dose.
Weekly.
I'm tired.
I know.
I know. Also news is boring sometimes. I don't know. I don't necessarily, I know there's the Friendship Simulator piece of it where we want to, we can just vamp and carry a thing by ourselves, but to a certain extent too, I want to have interesting things to talk about.
That's fair.
And somewhat positive things too. We can't just have drama.
Yeah. It's like we've had so many podcasts are like more layoffs this week.
Actually, you know what? You're right. Most of the highlight, well, I don't want to call them highlights, but features almost is just everybody's getting laid off. Today's not different.
No, it's
unless
not.
We want to skip that story.
We are. Well, we'll talk. We'll address it just because there was an update to it. But no.
Well, you know, yeah, a lot of time has passed. And can I tell you about my aging body?
Oh, God. What did you do to it now?
Nothing really, I guess. But I'm curious for you guys. Is this a thing? Adult onset eczema? Because I'm getting all sorts of flavors of eczema now, and I don't know what's going on, and I don't know if I'm alone in this. I've never had problems. Do you guys have eczema? Do you know how many types of eczema there is?
I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch, and as we get more and more diverse microplastic flora and fauna out there, we're going to have even more.
Maybe that's what happened to me. What have I been drinking? Well, I've been drinking less. That's the problem.
No, but we are pretty much all consuming poison in the United States also. So
that's true. That's true. Okay. I'm willing to blame microplastics, but I don't get it. And then like when you send a dermatologist that's inside your phone, a couple pictures, all they do is throw a bunch of steroid creams at you. And some of them make you like turn weird colors, and one of them made it bleed, and then another made it disappear. And now I have other ones, and I don't want to put any more steroids on it. And I'm trying beef tallow. Have you heard of beef tallow?
Yes.
Are you rubbing that on your skin? Tallow on yourself?
What's that?
Are you rubbing beef tallow on yourself?
Heck yeah, I am. I'm rubbing that all over me. I discovered.
I'll be honest with you, Andy, that's a challenging idea.
Beef tallow?
Yeah.
Oh, there's like, I'm not like, it's there's special boutique blends that's meant for skincare. Mine's like mixed with honey and olive oil and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. It's in the same realm of products like goat milk for bathing in. Like, they do stuff to it that makes it not so good to eat, possibly toxic, but also really good for the outside of your body.
Well, our skin is an organ and we have to take care of it. And that's now true. I've been
the
on
the largest
this
organ in your body.
It's the largest organ. And apparently there's lots of eczema and it's awful and it's itchy and it bleeds and I hate it. And now, do you guys have skincare routines? I started a skincare routine.
My partner desperately wants me to have one.
James, let me walk you through this. And Derek, do you have a skincare routine?
I have psoriasis. Of course I do.
Oh, is psoriasis also, wait, is that like eczema? I don't quite know.
It's dermatologic in the same, like it'll create bumps and rashes and whatnot, but it's driven from the autoimmune system rather than just eating like shit.
Wait, do I have psoriasis? I don't eat that bad. I've been eating more vegetables now.
Now, Andy, is pizza one of those vegetables?
Shut up.
It has tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. The government said it's good. But no, I've started, oh my God. Well, I've had to learn all about now I'm washing my face. I'd never washed my face before. Do you guys wash your face?
Yes. Oh. Yes, I wash my face.
I've never done that before. So, like at night?
No, yes. I mean the shower.
Oh, I wash it in the shower.
wash my face in the shower with an exfoliator. I have a facial cleanser for if I feel icky in the middle of the day. Okay. I've got moist towelettes with moisturizers for going before going to bed.
Oh, interesting.
It reduces oil on your pillows too.
Sure. Do you use the CeraVe moisturizing facial cleanser?
I use CeraVe moisturizing cleanser, CeraVe SA lotion, and CeraVe psoriasis lotion or cream.
Well, okay. What's they're the expensive one?
No, they're expensive as hell, and they give you straws that are too short to get to the bottom of the container. Oh. You have to take off the lid and then get in there with your hands.
Oh, no.
Good product. Horrible salesman. If there was any alternative, I would never buy CeraVe again. But
well, I just bought a big tub of the CeraVe. They've got moisturizing cream. I bought the CeraVe PM, like, ultra lightweight lotion with, God, there's so many different types of acids in these lotions too. Like hydroclonic, I think, and like salicylic.
Salicylic.
Salicylic. I, guys, this is a rabbit hole I didn't know I'd fall into. I'm trying to cure my eczema. Derek, that's interesting about the psoriasis, though. So is this – so, like, do you have to – wait, do you have, like, a body moisturizer too?
So I have a biweekly injection of the biologic.
Oh, interesting.
And a topical steroid and a foam for if it gets bumpy.
Okay.
And for, I have something much milder for my face, but normally just the salicylic acid kicks it out.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, and James, what do you do to take care of yourself?
I have a beauty bar that I import from Japan.
Oh, really? Wait, what's a beauty bar?
It's a 7-in-1.
It's what?
It's not a 7-in-1. No, it's I was in Japan. I exclusively use bar soap.
I'm a bar soap boy too.
Yeah. And I found a bar soap that I really liked while I was over there. And it's a beauty bar. It's called Cow.
Ooh.
And now I like it. And it has a jasmine scent.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Yeah. So I now pay too much money to get it sent to me. Because listen, I'm like, this is really nice soap.
Hey, you know what? Bathing should be healing. Okay. Spiritually fulfilling, and so you might as well have your nicest soap.
That's true. No, Andy, the only people who actually really believe that are the Japanese. Like, we wash.
That's why I get it from them.
There we go.
The filth off ourselves, and then we call it a day. They wash the filth off themselves, and then they go heal spiritually.
That's true.
Let me tell you, when I came back from Japan, my partner was like, "Your skin is glowing."
Ooh. From the has your skin continued to glow?
No. Oh. It was because I drank nothing but water and good food while I was over there. And Pekaki sweat or whatever it is. Pekari sweat, yeah.
Oh. I didn't guess I didn't realize it improves your skin. Being healthy. I mean, don't want to be healthy.
I'm just going to say,
I don't want to be healthy.
I think it's just he had like a week or two away from processed, super, super processed foods.
Yeah, I know that too.
It's like
I had 3 weeks away, Derek.
Yeah. You probably felt the best in your life on that plane tried back.
Well, didn't you say you were craving salads there?
Yeah, they didn't have salads.
That's interesting.
Well, they have like tiny 3-bite salads.
Yeah.
Well, we all got
it. I wanted a good old fashioned American sweet green.
I hear you. Listen, let's just all take care of ourselves, you guys. Let's take care of our skin. Let's take care of our bodies. It's been a lot on my mind. I keep adding products, you guys. I need to stop.
For who, Andy? For who? Who do you add them for?
I don't know. Well, I'm not going to lie. I did the body cream because I'm trying to help my eczema, and it did help. I didn't know that your skin could just not itch. It just never occurred to me to use body lotion.
That's bad.
I know. I was extremely ignorant and stupid, so I needed to take care of my skin. But I kind of like the ritual of washing your face at night. I kind of like it.
It's a good ritual. But also, Andy, besides just throwing stuff on top of your skin,
mm-hmm.
how's your exfoliation game?
So here's, and this is where I've just launched into. Now I'm learning about exfoliation. So the only thing I added was body lotion, and then you have to wash your face. And then I didn't know you're supposed to moisturize your face after washing your face. So that's a thing. But then I learned about exfoliation. And so I bought a face exfoliator thing from Cetaphil. And then I bought like an exfoliating cloth. It's like this long cloth that you like fold up and then you exfoliate your whole body. But I only do that once a week because it's a lot of work. And then you got to put lotion all over your body afterward. Guys, it's so much work.
Andy, let me add
everybody
one more.
Everybody listening to this podcast, imagine Andy lotioning his body.
It's okay. And now especially that there's a building up that can see into my bathroom. I've got to shut that door. I'm contorting in all different ways. It's horrible.
But Andy, let me add one more to your list, okay? Mm. You should be wearing sunscreen on your face anytime you go outside, even if it's cloudy.
Oh, Derek, that's my AM face lotion.
Yeah, they have lots of good sunscreens that also moisturize.
Yeah, I got the CeraVe AM. So I put that on the morning after I've washed my face. And then I have their CeraVe PM at night that I put on my face. I know this is all riveting, but I'm learning all about skincare, you guys. But that was the thing I learned or was told is that the best thing you can do is wear sunscreen on your face.
So, Andy, the sign that you need to pull back is when you start looking at the imports of skincare kits from Korea.
Oh, no. I haven't did that. Do you use rose water and stuff, Derek?
No, I do not.
Because that's, I hear like Korea is on their game, as I understand.
They're all about skincare.
They're all about skincare. And I've stopped at what I think is the practical limit. I am not trying to be too beautiful or anything. I'm not trying to have beautiful skin. I guess I don't really need to wash my face, but I just like washing my face at night. It's a nice way to wash away the day. That's my bath. That's my spiritual cleansing, is washing my face. It's kind of nice. I won't take a bath, though. Baths are still scary and gross.
Andy, shower, and then take a nice soak with some colloidal oats, maybe some oat milk also, and just relax.
So that sounds beautiful, but I have a bathroom where the tile is like 100 years old and you're never going to make a 100-year-old tile look clean. Like, and so it's just not great. Like the thing is clean, but it doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel right. Can I make my landlord redo all the caulking around my tub?
If you want to pay more per month?
My rent just went up for the first time in like 8 years.
I have never had my rent ever go up.
Really? Well, you've moved places.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't stayed place more than 5 years.
Yeah. Well, even still over 5 years, that's a long time not to raise rent.
I'm a good tenant.
You're a good tenant. Mine went up by $25. So I'm
bad.
Very.
Oh, that's not bad.
Mine went down 200 this last cycle.
It went down?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So, well, no, they had some units that were unfulfilled for a while. Lowered their price to get them in. I saw that they were lowering it, and I was like, okay, I'll play your game. I went month to month for 1 month, waited for it to dip, and then said, hey, can you match what you are offering, or maybe I should look elsewhere? And then, boom, spent like 100 extra for 1 month to get 200 off a month.
Heck yeah. That's a lot of money to save. Holy cow. Well, good find. Good find. Look at us taking care of our bodies, our financial responsibilities. I'm so proud of us.
Damn. And even though we've already tangented off this, speaking of beautiful Koreans.
Ooh.
What? Let's talk about Stellar Blade.
Oh!
made by the Korean studio Shift Up. Released last week. I've been playing it, by the way. Came out to an 82 on OpenCritic with 85% of critics recommending it. Michael Saltzman at IGN gave gave it 7 out of 10. Stellar Blade is great in all the most important ways for an action game, but dull characters, a lackluster story, and several frustrating elements of its RPG mechanics presented from soaring along with the best of the genre. Imran Khan at GameSpot gave it an 8 out of 10. A strong battle system and exciting moments make Stellar Blade more than just an imitator. And Steven Mills at Destructoid also gave it an 8 out of 10. Overall, Stellar Blade is a journey worth experiencing. I feel like with some improvements in certain areas, Stellar Blade could be a legendary landmark experience, like those that it clearly draws inspiration from. But even in its current form, Stellar Blade offers a fast-paced action combat system in a unique world with a rewarding narrative. It's not quite stellar, but it's certainly solid.
Oh, look at that. Look at that clever wordplay. I want to hear about your impression of it, because it's sounding good.
It's fun. I think a lot of people kind of look at it as like a Souls-like. It's more like a Souls-lite, L-I-T-E. You have the kind of limited healing potions. Enemies respawn when you rest at rest points. There's a focus on timing. It's more like Sekiro than anything, because there's a heavy focus on parrying.
So it's not a super heavy focus, but if you want to play focused on just parrying everything, that is an option from what I've seen.
Yeah. There's dodge mechanics. I've found the parrying to be better, for lack of a better term, in terms of like just mechanics. Like dodging can feel a little funky to me, while parrying feels like you can do a lot better. Of course, you have to get the timing right, but that's just get good, scrub. Yeah. It's not like Dark Souls where, you know, when you die, you drop all the souls you've been collecting or everything like that. XP is just, you just get it. So you could, technically speaking, you could just grind an area for XP if you really wanted to, and, you know, die and then redo it as much as you want. The boss fights are good. They're inspired. So far, they haven't been that hard to me. I think I've gotten most of them in, I don't know, under 10 attempts for most of them. I one-shot at least one boss.
You are a Souls expert.
Impressing people
on the streets of Japan.
That's true. Me and the Lies of P devs.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of combat too. Like, so, you know, you have your sword. There's also, you have a drone that kind of turns into a handheld gun that has different ammo types. It has shotguns, slugs, missiles, a Mega Man-esque beam cannon.
Oh, so it sounds stupid, like in a great way.
Yeah, I think like it really kind of just, at a certain point in this game, you go into a almost like Resident Evil Dead Space kind of area where it's like, oh, your sword doesn't work in here. You can only use the gun. And you're playing a third person shooter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it does a lot of interesting things. I think an 80% or an 80 is like a good place for it, because I am enjoying my time with it. However, I'm not like, I don't know, I wouldn't say I'm like driven to keep playing it. Like I kind of dip mm-hmm. in and out of it when I have time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the time I do have with it is enjoyable. The story is pretty schlocky anime RPG. It's definitely taking a lot of inspiration from Nier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say it's like a smash up of Sekiro and Nier, which the fans.
Yeah, it's not really a bullet hell, because Nier is a bullet hell. Yeah.
But that's what they like to say during the pre-release gameplay footage, is that was said a few times and is not
true. I think the world setting and the story is very Nier-like, Nier Automata. I think Nier does it better. What?
The when I was playing Automata, it felt so overcast. It was just like so like dull.
You're playing in kind of like post apocalypse.
Okay.
So it definitely has that kind of feeling, like you're in a world that's been broken over twice kind of thing.
Okay.
So yeah, there's a lot of overcast. There's a lot of depressing characters and depressing stories. And then, you know, your character's running around in a skin tight bodysuit.
Changes, right?
What's up?
And there's multiple outfit changes.
There are 22, I think.
Yeah, there's about 22. Some of them are distracting.
Distracting.
And not even in a way of like, oh, she's so hot. I'm just like, right. it's just like, that's just too much skin. Like, it doesn't even look good. Like, it's obviously designed to just like titillate you. But like, sure, when you're playing, you're just like, that doesn't even look realistic. Mm. Like, the physics of this dress don't make sense.
Hold on. That's going to be really interesting for anyone who's just been like looking at all the drama. Lots of people are complaining that they censored and made things less revealing.
Oh?
Yeah, they did something to like her crotch area to make it less skin tight, I believe. Something I heard.
Betraying the director's intent.
No. Yeah. No, the director has come out and said that this is the version that he intended for.
Less crotch.
They've reduced the amount of crotch area that was visible without clothing on.
There was also a thing where there's a graffiti. There's a store in the main hub town, and there's like a neon R, and then next to it there was graffiti. I never saw this in the version that I played, but I heard Games Media talking about it. And graffiti next to it, it's hard, so it's the hard R shop.
Oh no.
So the shop is represented with an R and then points towards it. And
no, but like the graffiti next to it also said hard.
Yes. But the R was intended to be there. The crime was just a random. What Koreans thought graffiti looked like in the West.
Well, yeah. And I think too, like they eventually during the review period, people went to them and was like, hey, this means something in America. And they went, oh, okay. Yeah, no, we didn't realize that. And they go, no, we get it.
Yeah.
they fixed it.
No, so what they did was they're like, oh, I get you. I understand completely what graffiti should look like. And then they replaced it with the word crime.
Yeah.
They just wrote crime and graffiti on the wall.
Well, it was said hard in graffiti before. So
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. Oh, getting upset about just random words in a game. It's like, no, it has connotations.
Oh my god, but they got mad about that. Oh,
I know. Well, gamers are terrible.
I mean, they can take offense at that, and they fixed it, so like, good on them.
Well, they bowed down to the woke mob, Derek.
The woke woke in all caps.
That's right.
And also, so the censorship that's claimed, like a lot of the more revealing outfits, a lot of the details don't even look finished. Like some drawstrings are still hard and have no animation. Like they're hard.
That's the thing that bugs me about them. Like they don't flow properly. And if they did, she would be naked.
Oh, no. So these are details on the costumes that got fixed in the Day Zero patch. I haven't actually seen any reviews of the end game because I'm hoping in a year it'll be on PC and I get to find them out myself.
Oh, it's not on PC.
No, it's right now it's PlayStation 5 exclusive. It's also $70.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know if it's worth $70. That thing, I don't think anybody should be running to play this game. Like, sure, if you have nothing better to do, it's a good game and it's fun to play. But if you can wait, I don't think there's a reason to. It's not like anything's going to get spoiled for you. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. And it's not like a soaring achievement in the Soulsborne area. So, it has a lot of, I think, much like Lies of P came out, which is also another Korean studio, came out and really did like a lot for like, hey, we're going to tinker with the Souls formula and put our own stamp on it. Well, he does that too. And like, it has these kind of, makes it much more of an action game, and you have these combo abilities, so it's almost Devil May Cry like you're trying to knock out combos with certain button presses And, you know, you also have these ultra abilities that do extra damage. So it's different from a normal Souls game in that way. And I think those things do make it worth playing. But I don't know if, you know, it's not something I'm like the game as it stands so far that I've played. And I played, I don't know, it's like 15 hours.
That's a decent amount.
12 hours.
And still haven't beaten it.
I've seen people say it took them about 25, 30 hours. So I'm probably halfway through it.
I feel like character action games should be like 10 to 12 hours.
Yeah.
Well, there's New Game Plus and some other nonsense in it, too.
Well, I mean, maybe that's earning it at $70.
And more costumes will be coming. So
hey-o.
I settled for one that's kind of like a punk jacket. Like she's fully covered, but she's wearing kind of like punk clothing.
Cool.
And I'm like, she looks cool. I like it. Well,
I get Double it.
A, it's pretty good, but you know it's not.
What?
Sandland.
Oh yeah.
I will disagree with that judgment.
Well, you can disagree with the critics then, because currently sitting at 73 on OpenCritic. 53% of critics recommending it. Michael Hingham at IGN gave it a 6 out of 10. Sandland's vehicular focus shows potential, but devolves into a by-the-numbers open-world action game, a storytelling that only occasionally manages to live up to the joys of its original work. Daniel Quesada at Hot Consolas gave it an 82 out of 100. He doesn't invent the wheel, but his recreation of the desert world and, above all, his vehicle battles and a lot of personality. I guess he's talking about the main character. Ideal for those who want a light and very Toriyama-esque adventure. And Kyle Hillard at Game Informer gave it a 7.8 out of 10. Sandland has its shortcomings. It feels a little overlong despite seeing credits around the reasonable 20-hour mark, but it maintains a charm throughout. Toriyama's fun sense of humor is front and center with Beelzebub, the main character, taking on the adventure primarily so his dad will give him an extra hour of video game time every day. I may have not had strong connections with most of the cast and was annoyed with a number of specific sections, but I like spending time in Sandland and beyond and seeing my garage upgrade and grow, which I guess is a feature of the game. Derek, what are your opinions on Sandland? Because I played the demo and I was like, this is okay. It didn't make me want to play it, and certainly these reviews are not making me want to play it any more than that. What do you have to say about that?
Okay. So the storytelling is not exactly like flawless. It's very uneven. There's some design flaws in the gameplay itself, but like it just comes off as a shonen adventure. Like this is so Sandland is a manga from Akira Toriyama, author of Dragon Ball, and
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Yeah, and a lot of elements that were in early Dragon Ball come out here. Lots of the same designs, lots of the same elements. And the gameplay is genuinely fun. So you have the capsules from Dragon Ball, and you can just change from tank to walker to bike. And it's nothing amazing, but it's a very entertaining experience.
Did you play it, Derek, or did you watch someone play it?
I watched someone play 9 hours of it, and I think watching it is an equal experience for this game. Because again, the gameplay is nothing special. The story is fairly weak, but the mechanics are solid, and the characters are fun.
I mean, I take opinions from people I've watched play games too, so I don't think that's not fair, or it's unfair of you to form an opinion based off of that. I haven't seen anyone playing it, which I think of itself is kind of its own indictment of the game. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, the people I usually follow who play these games. I saw a lot of people try the demo like I did, and they were like, maybe when it goes on sale. But
I didn't ever even heard of Sandland.
I think it was the manga he did before Dragon Ball Super came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But wait, Super wasn't something that wasn't a manga though, right?
No, Super's manga.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason. Okay. Well, you know, this is making me think.
I think Super started with anime and then he went back and redid it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, he was still involved or had his hand in it. But I'm thinking now, what are we going to do about the next Dragon Quest? Can you even make Dragon Quest anymore?
Yes. Like,
oh, yeah. The money printing machine of Japan will continue to be made.
But how do you do it?
His style is not hard to duplicate. I'm sorry to say.
I mean, also, he has assistants. I forget the name of his main assistant on Super. But they've talked about how, like, you know, it's he has people who are trained in his style and worked with him for years. So who are, you know, great mangakas in their own right.
But. Sure. All right. Okay. Dragon Quest is saved.
Unfortunately for every Hunter x Hunter fan.
Oh, that's right. Mm. Listen, he's not writing that anymore still, right?
Didn't a couple of chapters come out recently?
Let me check the GitHub hiatus real quick.
Wait, there's a GitHub of it? Just for like all this fan translation?
People use GitHub like a Wikipedia sometimes. I find it very weird.
It's interesting.
Yeah, so the last chapter was in the first 4 weeks of... Or issue 4 of the year 2023.
Oh, I thought some came out recently. I guess I was wrong.
I mean, that's sort of recently. Like the drought before that was three and a half full years.
Where is he getting money?
Volume sales.
Maybe. I mean, live your best life, right? He has no obligation. But I guess going back to Sandland, it was just making me think of Toriyama. Yeah, I had never heard of Sandland at all. So this threw me by surprise, and then it just didn't look interesting. But I'm glad it's fun.
Well, you know, it's not fun.
What?
Nintendo's long arm of the law coming for Garry's Mod.
Oh, is Garry's Mod made for porn?
No. Well,
no.
It wasn't made for.
Well, right. I guess I could say.
No, you're thinking of Source Filmmaker.
Oh, that is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, you're right. Source Filmmaker is where porn is made.
Okay. Because I was going to say, it's not unreasonable for Nintendo to say, stop the porn, please.
Garry's Mod is more for weird games and deep fried memes.
Oh, is that where Skibbity Poop comes from?
I don't know, and I don't want to know.
Skibbity
Toilet.
Skibbity Toilet? I don't know. Keep going. Sorry.
Well, so if you're unfamiliar, Garry's Mod is a... How to describe Garry's Mod? Garry's Mod is a game, for lack of a better term, that loads assets from any source-based game or source engine-based game and that you can use to then develop like your own little games or movies or sets or things like that. Mm. People, however, have also taken to the Steam Workshop and imported everything.
Yes, but hold on. Let me give another definition for Garry's Mod.
Sure.
It's the first in the original Roblox.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. If you know what Roblox is, yeah, Garry's Mod is a very apt way to describe it, or Roblox is an apt way to describe it. It is a creation engine for you to play with, you know, models. Prop Hunt came from Garry's Mod, didn't it, Derek?
It did. And then it shifted to Team Fortress 2. No, Team Fortress 2. And then I think a few Counter-Strike 1.6 servers implemented it. And then Call of Duty stole it shamelessly.
Stole what? I missed that.
Prop Hunt.
Prop Hunt is where you have two teams. One team are hunters and the other team are props. And basically what that means is you are props in the level of the game. So like you're a couch or you're a vase or you're a chair or you're a mug. Mm. And you have to hide on the level and make it so the hunters can't find you.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Actually, it's a great idea.
Yeah, but actually, I have a history change. It was actually in Counter-Strike Source first and then ported to Garry's Mod.
Oh, really? Yes. Oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
So, yeah.
But how does Call of Duty steal that?
Then they just made it. They're just like, oh, we should do that too.
But like, I'm a coffee mug in Call of Duty?
Yes.
Well, it's just because the level.
Or a sheet of metal.
Yeah. Or a tire.
Call of Duty's that goofy.
Like, no, yeah, Call of Duty is very goofy sometimes. Oh. Now that we've spent 5 minutes explaining the base for the, so yeah, everything. However, Nintendo was like, hey, what's going on over here? As a Gary's Mod put up an official post on Steam Workshop saying, Nintendo stuff on Steam Workshop. We're working on removing all Nintendo related stuff from Steam Workshop. Some of you may have noticed certain Nintendo related workshop items have been taken down. This is not a mistake. The takedowns came from Nintendo. Honestly, fair enough. This is Nintendo's content, and what they allow and don't allow is up to them. They don't want you playing with that stuff in Game Mod. That's their decision. We have to respect that and take down as much as we can. This is an ongoing process as we have 20 years of uploads to go through. If you want to help us by deleting your Nintendo related uploads and never uploading them again, that would help us a lot.
How do they not know? How did Nintendo not know? Or why does Nintendo care now? There's no universe where they didn't know this was happening.
Oh, hey, there's this game on Steam that's super popular and people are saying Solsa from Pokemon. Not Power World. Let's look at Gary's Mod. I don't know. I'm speculating that Power World getting popular gave them pause and made them reevaluate how strict they needed to attempt to put down IP violations.
Sure. Like,
they can't just go after people streaming their game on release because, you know, that's not stopping anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something Nintendo likes to do. They give streamers like a limited amount of time to stream new Pokemon games. They only allow them to stream like the first quarter of any RPG games.
Oh, interesting.
Like, they're very strict with that. And they've been very strict on emulation as well. But Gary's Mod, it's been going on like 20 years, and it's fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's just like, yeah, they're not paying anything to license holders. Yeah, like, yeah, people of their own free time and free will uploaded stuff for free, I think. I don't know if you can. I don't know if Gary's Mod stuff is monetized. If someone was monetizing stuff, that would be stupid. But yeah, it's hard to get mad about, but it's just also weird, like you said, Andy, to be like, it's been going on for like 20 years. Why now?
Yeah, why? I don't. And like, honestly, this is like, it sounds like, because for some reason, I still can't wrap my brain around Gary's Mod, but it sounds like a toy box. Like you just.
Yeah, that's a great way.
Stuff and you play around and it's like, I get it. Like if no one's charging money for it, like I feel like it only helps Nintendo to let everybody play around.
I agree. Well, the only times I ever saw Nintendo characters were them using Nintendo characters as skins, like I just posted to the Slack. And it's like very harmless, but
oh yeah,
I've been far away from the Gary's Mod for a while, so maybe they've been recreating games or something. I honestly don't know, but I definitely do have seen Nintendo assets used in game, at least modified and blah blah blah. It's obviously Mario and Peach, but
yeah,
I've seen it.
Hmm.
I mean, it's also one of those things where the sucky part about how copyright and IP protection work is that if you don't go after them, it weakens the defense against when you need to go after things.
That is a so very good point.
Which is a very bootlicky opinion, but
they do have to defend it.
Yeah. The way the law is set up, they have to.
Does anybody play Gary's Mod anymore?
Yeah. Oh god, how many people are playing it right now? Probably a lot.
Lots of prepubescent teens.
Isn't it for children?
No. There's very much not children things going on that are filled with children.
That's all things. How degenerate does Gary's Mod get?
Okay, so there are
15,000 people in game right now.
Wow. Okay,
but the ones the ones I played, this isn't me telling, 1942 RPG, which of course you're playing in Nazi Germany in 1942.
Uh-oh.
As various members, including the hobo, who cannot be stopped by the police unless they're committing violence. And most of the other people are just having money printers in corners and buying weapons and having a fun time. It's just a very edgy take on the RPG system that's Gary's Mod started.
Sure.
And One where they replaced the money printers with drug printers.
Oh,
where you're printing marijuana.
And
And I spent like 5+ years away from it. Came back. So many squeaky high pitched voices. I could not partake in that.
By the way, the average player count is somewhere in the mid 30,000s month to month.
That's incredible.
Yep.
But yeah, there's all kinds of games like Watermelon Race where you pilot a watermelon with very rough controls over very rough terrain. Free build. You can try to create a spaceship and launch the highest in a certain amount of time. And I think the most famous game mode is Trouble in Terrorist Town.
Yep, Trouble in Terrorist Town is also good. Trouble in Terrorist Town, Andy, is I don't remember. Did Werewolf come before? I think it would have to.
Werewolf never came up in an FPS. So this is an FPS version of a social deduction game. You've got
detectives. Yeah, but I mean, like, did Werewolf? I know social deduction games existed for a long time, but
yeah, no, like, Mafia was a game you played with the standard 52 card deck for like what, since 2000-ish?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but it's basically that.
Okay.
Werewolf or Mafia or Secret Hitler, technically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hearing about it, this is so beautiful that like a game that is meant or built around community expression, just people having fun and making whatever they want. 30,000 people engage with that a month. That's incredible.
And Nintendo doesn't want you to see their name anywhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we've got edgy, you know, marijuana printers, maybe we don't want Mario next to the thing that prints marijuana.
Completely reasonable. How dare you?
Completely reasonable. God, the amount of edgy games that must be on there. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, especially if it's a creation tool accessible enough to young people, which you made the comparison to Roblox, that must be edge out the wazoo. God.
Roblox. Oh, Andy, dive in. You like video essays? Go dive in some Roblox video essays.
Oh.
Shit gets crazy in there.
Yeah, I don't actually know much about Roblox. I've seen it at Target. That's as close as I've gotten to Roblox. Then hearing about how they're exploiting children for money.
No. According to the Roblox media people, they're liberating children in untoward situations and allowing them to make an income.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. I read that interview. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, we're making money off children. What are you going to do? Stop us?
Tell that one kid that made some money.
Get fucked, some nerd.
Third world country. Oh, my God. Well, you know, I think that's just very special that there's these tools that just these community, it builds them up and it had legs 20 years. Great. And then we have Source Filmmaker for the rest of it.
Yeah. Well, hold on, Andy.
That's for adults.
Andy, Garry's Mod 10 hasn't been the entire 20 years. Before, there was Garry's Mod 9, which was completely free. You could just download and play and do a lot of these things. And then they had the gall to charge like, what, $10 or something.
$10. And it goes on sale very often.
Yeah. But it's like, how dare they?
I might own it, but I don't know what it is. And I think I've known about it for the 20 years of its existence. I've just never understood it.
I'll be on the record. The worst content I've ever had in Garry's Mod was the cinema servers, where you can go into different movie theater rooms and watch what people put from YouTube.
Aww.
Horrible stuff from YouTube.
Horrible stuff?
Long Furbies.
Long what?
Long Furbies.
Oh, hey, there's nothing wrong with long Furbies, okay? Oh, I had another deep dive recently. I can't
remember. No, we're not doing that.
Yeah. But no, I dodged Charlie the Unicorn as a child and had to view it as a semi-adult. It was horrible.
What is Charlie the Unicorn?
No, we're not doing that.
Look
Should
it
I?
No. Like it's.
Oh, with one hand Nintendo taketh away, with the other it giveth. Because we have more news about the Nintendo Switch 2.
That's right.
Nintendo is really trying not to fuck it up.
Yeah.
They're really trying not to Wii U it.
Mm-hmm.
In this article from WCCEC, says the Nintendo Switch 2 will be a conservative hardware evolution over the original model, according to a recent report from a Chinese peripheral manufacturer. In a Facebook post shared earlier this week, which has since been edited, Chinese manufacturer MobiPad revealed some additional information on the next console by Nintendo. The console, according to the report, will support both the Pro Controller and Joy-Con controllers, as well as HD Rumble, but the size of the new Joy-Con motor will be smaller. While the current Joy-Con controllers will be compatible with Nintendo Switch 2, it won't be possible to attach them to the console in handheld mode due to a new horizontal magnetic docking system, which will only support the new version of the controllers. Regarding backwards compatibility, MobiPad revealed the Nintendo Switch 2 will be fully backwards compatible with both physical and digital versions of the original Switch games. The new console will also retain its USB-C port for working. I fucking hope so.
Yeah. what else would it be?
Yeah. We're going to Lightning. which will be compatible with the new generation of docks featuring minor design improvements, such as a metal bracket for improved angle adjustments. And as previously rumored, the console screen will be slightly bigger than that of the original console and support 1080p resolution. So the big news came out of this was that that the new Joy-Cons will be magnetically attaching to the new Switch. And also all your Joy-Cons you bought with all those colorways and all that shit. You can use them, but they ain't going to attach to your console anymore.
You know, fair. So, and that sliding mechanism, mine slide out while I'm holding it.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. I think I also like to push on it. I'm blaming myself somewhat for it. Like, I kind of fidget with it. But sorry, Derek, I think I spoke over you.
No. So if you're holding it at an angle and you apply force, like, it locks in place. It's not like a friction lock. It's just like, it's not a good friction lock. Like, once it's fully inserted, it's sort of locked in place and you can push it out with slight force.
Mm-hmm.
And this magnet's supposed to help prevent that.
Which, you know, I barely play my... Well, now I use... James, you turned me on to it where you use the Pro Controller.
And the Fisher.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I played a lot of the new Prince of Persia using it that way.
I didn't know you were playing that, Andy.
Oh, yeah. I beat it. I 100%ed it.
Oh, wow.
It's fantastic.
And you haven't been Final Fantasy VII Rebirth yet, huh?
Nope, I haven't. But I played Prince of... It was actually a little bit ago. But I cannot recommend that game enough, you guys. It's so good.
That's on my list, which is... It's funny that I'm playing Stellar Blade, not that. But I don't know why. I'm just not... I need the mood to play that game, and I'll get there.
I get it. You're going to have a blast. It's... As I was playing it, I was in awe that... Like a AAA studio cared that much about a single player game. It just wasn't making sense to me. Yeah. It's so good. It's so good. But anyways, that's how I played it. I don't know. Are you guys excited about a Switch 2? I don't care about the system. I want to know what the new Mario is going to be on it. Mm. Give us another Odyssey.
I thought it was going to be Odyssey 2.
Yeah, but I think my main concern is, will James see this as an upgrade from the OLED he has?
That's true.
I do have the OLED. For a second there, I was about to say, I don't have the OLED. I was thinking of the Steam. I do have the Switch OLED.
So yeah, if this is a big upgrade, I might get an OLED.
Oh, no, I mean, no, I will get this. This will be, because, man, some games just run like dog shit on the Switch.
Prince of Persia runs fantastic.
Well, I think the release date's still 2025, but
I think they're targeting... Yeah, the rumors are still targeting March 2025.
But you know, that just means more of a library to be printed for whenever I eventually get a Switch.
You, Derek, if you want my OLED when the Switch comes out again,
that's what I'm insinuating.
That's what I'm asking. Me.
Okay, I'm asking.
I'm not going to give it to you. You have to say, James, I would like it, and then you get it.
James, I would like it.
Pretty okay, clean. Do you want the original? Well, do you want the original one right now? Because I'll give you the original.
No, okay. I want the OLED, I think.
All right, well, then I'll give you the OLED.
I would actually use it as a portable console, not playing at home.
I'll give you the OLED when the Switch 2 comes out.
But yeah, no, I'm now I'm doubly excited, Andy.
That's exciting. That's exciting. I don't know what I want to play on Switch, so maybe I won't get it. I don't know.
I want Tears of a Kingdom running at more than 20 FPS.
Oh, that's fair. Maybe I'd revisit on that. Maybe I'll give Bayonetta another try. As much as I love Bayonetta, I couldn't play the third one.
Oh.
Not even because performance, actually. It was just too much was going on. Too much was happening. And I think I'm too old now for that much activity on the screen. It's just too much. But well, I'm glad we got some news on it. Nintendo, just announce it. Just do it.
It'll probably be this summer. One of their summer Nintendo Directs, I would not be shocked if we get the announcement.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they're waiting for like the right investor time.
Yeah, it's either October might be too late, but I don't know. I'd either put my money on June or October.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to see. But, you know, speaking of earnings or stock, whatever, or maybe we want to skip that bummer news of Square.
Well, let's round it out with that. oop, I have to bring up the article. Oh, that's. Didn't come up. Click that again. There we go. Square Enix expects more than $140 million loss next quarter as it abandons numerous projects in development. This article from thatparkplace.com. Square Enix, the developer and publisher behind Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest, Star Ocean, Kingdom Hearts, the Mana series, and more, announced it expects $140 million loss next quarter as it abandons numerous projects in development. In a press release, Square Enix shared, Square Enix Holdings expect to recognize extraordinary losses pertaining to the abandonment losses associated with content production. The company that provided more details on the losses in the light of myriad changes underway in the environment surrounding its group, the revised group's approach to the development of high-definition games, the attention being more selective and focused in the allocation of development resources. The company is carefully reviewing its consolidated forecast for the fiscal year ended March 2024 to assess potential impact for other... So we don't really know what they scrapped, but yeah. there's rumors that Stranger in Paradise 2, another 2D HD, or what did they call it?
HD
Final Fantasy, and Dragon Quest Builders, and Harvestella 2 were the games on the chalking block.
Of note, that rumor is from 4chan, which makes me not believe it.
Now, here's the rumor. Well, not a rumor. I think they said it was an open world RPG initially worked on by Luminous was being dropped, which sort of sounds like Forspoken 2 was being worked on and
sure.
It's getting dropped from lack of success and interest.
Yeah. I never played Forspoken.
How dare you? The CEO of Square Enix himself wanted it to be a tentpole franchise. Okay?
Would have been cool if it was.
It looked so pretty.
It did. It looked really cool. The other reason the power, I don't...
Mm-hmm? I was saying, it needs the power of the PlayStation 5 Pro.
That's what it is. Yep. We need that Pro. I was going to say, one of the reasons I also don't believe this rumor of the, at least the listed games was that they said a 2D HD Final Fantasy. Are you kidding me? They would cancel that? That doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know how well those games sell. The 2D HD games may not be selling that well.
Well, the last one they made was Live Alive. I don't know how to pronounce
it. Well, that's a different thing. So this would probably be a remake of a Final Fantasy
game. Right. And well, the Live Alive was a remake. And I don't know why they chose that. What's that?
That's true. It was.
So, and I don't know why they chose that to be the one, but whatever. So maybe that didn't sell. And as I understand, Octopath Traveler 2 didn't sell as well.
It was a darling though. It got reviewed incredibly well.
Oh yeah. I was reading something about it. I think it was the timing, but you know what? I also don't have the numbers in front of me, so I could be making it all up, but I just can't imagine if you had a remake in that style that wouldn't sell. I just refuse to believe that. The Dragon Quest Builders thing bums me out. Cause I don't know if I talked about that on here, but I was playing Dragon Quest Builders 2 and that game's incredible. Like incredible. It just blew my mind, and all I want is another one.
I didn't know you were into that, Andy.
I didn't know either. I got the PlayStation Game Pass, whatever it's called, PlayStation Super Plus or whatever. And I was like looking around, and then I saw Dragon Quest Builders, and then I looked it up, and everybody's like, don't play the first one. And I would also agree after playing it. But I played the second one, and it just took me away. I invested so many hours. I just lost my life in it. It is perfect. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. I think it's incredible. And we're maybe the third one's canceled. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I don't think it's an issue of quality from Square Enix. I think they single-handedly put up competition for every single one of their titles with their other releases of like story-driven RPGs. Mm. So just for 2023, we had Forspoken, Theatrhythm Final Bar Line, Octopath Traveler, Paranormicide, Final Fantasy VI Pixel Remaster, Final Fantasy V Pixel Remaster, Final Fantasy IV, III, and II Pixel Remaster, and I Pixel Remaster.
Squeeze them.
Live Alive, Final Fantasy 16, on PS5, Ketsugo Danshi, Dragon Quest Treasures, Dragon Quest The Adventure of Dai, Star Ocean, The Second Story R, Dragon Quest, Monsters of the Dark Prince, and Final Fantasy VII Ever Crisis on PC release.
Man, they really released a lot.
Mm-hmm. Square goes through it, man.
Yeah. I really do wonder what they're canceling. It's always a bummer to hear that.
Yeah, but I think most casual gamers, they will play six new games a year. Is that fair to guess?
That's fair. I think for people who's not their main hobby.
Yeah.
And
honestly, I think it could be lower.
Yeah. No, so yeah, that was a generous one. But no, I feel like almost every fan of any of these games would enjoy every single one, but they might play one or two, and they've got to pick which one or two. And I just feel like they were just much like everything during the COVID times. They saw a boom and they tried to ride that boom, and now they're busting. Mm-hmm.
Sure. I like that point though, that like if they were a fan of one, they would have been a fan of a lot. So diversify. And like, I feel like PS1 Square was like used to do it all, right? They used to do it all. I was at a convention with a friend and he picked up Einhander or whatever. They made a shoot 'em up. Like Square was doing everything. Go back to that. Go back to that, Square. Well, maybe they tried that with Forspoken and that didn't work out.
I mean, I just want them to stick to their strength and make it a very solid product.
Yeah.
And not saying any of them aren't solid products, but
you're saying all of them aren't.
But maybe that's just too many. Maybe you shouldn't have remastered Final Fantasy 1 through 6 all released.
Shut your mouth.
Okay, if someone bought that pack of 5 Final Fantasy games, why would you buy anything after April 2023? You could still be playing it to this day.
I just cared that they did 4. 4 is my favorite.
Yeah, aww. But it's just like, if you really like their RPGs, that's 2 years of content right there, almost.
That's fair. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're figuring it out. I just hope that none of them had to do with Parasite Eve or Brave Friends or Musashi. Give me those. Leave them alone. Make me ones, please. And thank you.
Well, we'll have to talk about what Square's making on another weekly episode of Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a new show. I've been your host, James. Yeah, maybe we'll be back next week. Yeah. Hartwell, and I've been joined by
Andy, skincare influencer. Now, ooh, that's right. Sponsor me, CeraVe. Kay, and I've been joined by
maybe Derek. Maybe biased by Toriyama. Gosh, y'all.
Have a good night.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.